What's up, nerds? Or friends? Or today we learners? Happy 2018. 2018, guys. This is awesome. It's almost 2019. We're closer. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. Here's the thing. First off, thanks for downloading this episode. And second off, Happy New Year, and I hope everybody's doing amazing so far. I hope you got a good jump start to 2018. I hope your 2018 is better than 2017 for each and every one of you, and I appreciate everybody who downloads and listens to this. Secondly, I want to apologize for not putting out an episode in a while. I got busy, and I got working on my book, and then my book came out, which you can buy. It's called Don't Be a Dick. It's on Amazon.com. It's a satirical children's book. It's really, really funny, and I hope you guys buy it, and I hope you like it. But I got really busy, and I get, you know how you get in those things where after you stop doing a routine for a while, then that becomes a routine. Not being a routine becomes a routine. So I'm going to try and get back into the routine of recording these and releasing these once a week because I miss talking to people, and I miss hearing stories, and I miss having you guys have something to listen to, although I'm sure you have a slew of way better podcasts that you enjoy more than listening to my dulcet tones of a voice. I don't know what dulcet tones means, but I've heard it used many times, especially on this show. So thank you, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to try and be a better podcast host and content creator for everybody who listens to these. Thirdly, fourthly, whatever number we're on, I'm not a scientist. I don't know where my bullet points are. This is a very fun episode. I have my buddy Ronan Rubenstein as a guest, but there is an amendment here. We started recording, and we didn't notice till after that Ronan's cute little pit bull chewed through one of the microphone wires, and none of the audio was usable. However, Ronan happened to be Instagramming live the entire thing. So we saved the Instagram live story. We separated the audio. So if anything, this podcast sounds like the very first podcast of Today We Learned with Ben Glebe, where it's literally you hear the echo of the room, but the audio, you can still hear Ronan and I talking and having a good time and sharing some stories. But it's not, we're not talking into like mics. The quality isn't the best quality, but it isn't horrible quality. It's more like, hey, we put a microphone in front of us and we both use the same microphone. So I apologize for that. But it's a fun podcast. It's a fun little story. Ronan's got a couple tales. I don't want to spoil it for you, but yeah. So, you know, check it out and leave some good feedback on iTunes. Give us a good review if you haven't ever yet. Please give me a good review on there. And let's see if we can't slowly climb those charts after being almost dormant for, you know, a year and a half or so. I don't know. Thank you guys so much for listening to this. And once again, happy 2018. This is Today We Learned with Ronan Rubenstein.
Gentlemen! Let's broaden our minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, well, if you're listening to this because I'm talking and you hit play. I'm here with a very good friend of mine, a very talented actor, model, awesome, cool dude, whatever you want to, he'll say whatever hyphen he is. But we also, for some reason, you know, we're trying it out. We're doing a lot Instagram Live on his Instagram Live. So if you're watching this on Instagram Live,
I've introduced Razzle to the 21st century.
Then listen to this podcast when it's out tomorrow on iTunes. Or if you're listening to this on Wednesday, which is when this will go up, go to Ronan tomorrow. Rubenstein's Instagram, because he may still have the live thing up there. I think you can do that, right?
You could post the live videos now.
Yeah, you can. I'll have you just talk a little bit like that.
Like this?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
So you can post the live video. You can do a live video.
Yeah, as of like a few months ago.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I have younger friends to keep me in the now and hip to the future.
You can record videos on Instagram and take photos.
Which is, I'll be honest with you, my New Year's resolution. If you see,
I saw that.
My New Year's resolution is to stay off Instagram for a month. So it's tough. So, but I did. You may see posts because I did just do a bunch of new ads for my book. Which, by the way, I'm talking to the camera while I'm also talking to your friends here. I mean, or wait, my friends, all the downloaders here. I know it's been a while since we've released a new podcast. I've been slammed doing, you know, busy in the holidays and prepping for the release of my book. My book is now out. It's called Don't Be a Dick. You can buy it on Amazon.com. I've mentioned it all last year in podcasts and all of that. Please buy my book and tell all of your friends to buy my book and post pictures of it on Instagram and on Facebook so I can reshare those and post those. And
it's actually super, super, super creative and I think perfect for this kind of day and age. And I actually am going to read a few pages from it today.
I like it. I agree. And I think that
I didn't tell you I was going to do that.
Oh, but I like a good surprise. And that's actually great because one of the phase twos of the releasing of the book released in December, one of the phase twos is that I'm going to try and do videos throughout the year of like people in Los Angeles reading Don't Be a Dick.
Yes.
You know, actors reading Don't Be a Dick, improv, you know, comedians, you know, I'm going to try and do like back in, you know, like in 2016 or 2015, how they're like, oh, you know, so-and-so say LA people of Los Angeles, you know, I want to try and get, you know, some videos out there of, you know, almost like music videos, but of people reading it, because not only is it funny, but it's also, you know, it's a PSA.
I mean, it really is. It's like, especially because, I mean, they always say the young generations are the key.
The key, right? You know?
And
there's a whole song about the children being our future.
And you could write a title like that nowadays because at the end of the day, kids are not really kids anymore. They grow up exponentially faster.
Exponentially.
So like a kid, maybe 10 even years old, could be like, oh, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, don't be a dick.
Yeah, and his parents could be like, yeah, let's read this. You know, yeah, it's not so much, it's not very, I mean, it's still a very PC world, but maybe in this kind of realm, they'll actually let them read something like this.
Yeah. You know, it's a world that's changing with, you know, the Trumps and the Me Toos and the Weinsteins and everybody. You know, there was a phrase in the, you know, the 90s or in the 80s, when, I don't know when the phrase came, but it's, you know, can't we all just get along? And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, accept everybody, be nice to everybody, don't be a dick, you know?
Yeah, that's actually the few pages that I wanted to read. That's my favorite part of it.
Ronan, I didn't tell you this because I forgot, but we like to start off each episode with the guest providing a fun fact about themselves.
Okay.
Or something you learned recently. No rules. It can be a new way to tie your shoe, or it could be, you know, I can, you know, fold my tongue up 19 ways. It can be, there's no rules. A fun fact about yourself, or both. If you have a fun fact about yourself and something you learned recently, either or.
I think I'll do both.
Yeah, since, I like it.
You know, there's not a lot.
Since we're live on Instagram.
We're live.
How do you see how many people are watching?
Oh, it's not very much.
Oh, 28? 28 hearts? Hey, that's more than mine.
Hello, 28 eyes.
Hey, 28 people. No, if 28 people are watching, there's more than, unless one of you has one eye, it would technically be like 56 eyes.
Exactly.
Hello, 56 eyes.
Hello, 62 eyes.
Hello, we're just going
to, I think,
all those hearts. Hey, also follow me on Instagram, at my name is Razzle. I'm not going to look at it for a month, but you can do that anyways. Okay, sorry. Not to interrupt. This is weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Visual medium for those of you.
So, fun fact about myself. Yes. Not a lot of information out there. I was born in Israel, and I spent my first 7 years alive there. And then from Israel, moved to the United States.
Where in Israel?
A tiny place called Rehovot.
How do I spell that?
Rehovot.
Got it.
Well,
there's a Wikipedia page for that. So continue, yeah, and then I'll talk about this.
And then we moved to the United States in order for, first of all, my older sister not to go to the military, because the age is 16 and you must join. And then also further down the line for me not to join. And then we've been living in the United States ever since. Now the other side of the fact, I've just recently got a pit bull puppy. She's actually under us.
Yeah, she is.
She's being the best guest.
Very adorable. And it's a rescue, I believe, right?
Physically rescued her from Hollywood Boulevard.
I didn't rescue her, she rescued me.
Dude, pretty much. So I've been reading a lot about them and trying to, you know, figure ways to...
Is it a straight pit bull that you know, or is it like a something pit bull?
So pit bulls could be a mix of three types, and I think that she is an American bulldog mix. So
American bully, right?
Yes, American bully. Yeah, she kind of has that like long lean face of like an American bulldog. I've found out pretty much in the beginning of having her that over 2 million pit bulls a year, just in the United States, are killed.
I do know. I was reading on Reddit the other day, and when I say the other day, it could mean 2 days ago, it could mean 5 months ago. I don't know what day it is right now. But I it was something along the lines of somebody in like Detroit, I think. I think Michigan, it's either Michigan or Detroit, has a law that outlaws pit bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Pit bulls are legal.
Mm-hmm.
And which I have a story about a pit bull too we could get into. But I remember reading something about somebody posted a picture on Facebook or something like a... You know, whatever. And it went viral.
Mm-hmm.
And it went viral, and they had like a dog in there. And they thought, when they bought the dog or whatever, they thought the dog was something else. But cops saw this post or something, and they were like, well, that's a pit bull, and it looks like you live in Detroit, so you're breaking the laws or whatever.
Yeah.
So they ended up needing to, I don't know if they got resolved or if they got a stay of the action or whatever, but they either had to get rid of the pit bull or they had to move because... When they bought it, they were told it was something else, but it turned out it was a pit bull, which are illegal in either Detroit or Michigan.
They're illegal in a lot of states and a shitload of countries.
There used to be a pit bull on the same block. So I come from a small town, Bay City, Michigan, and like when I say a block, I literally mean like a small block. Like, I don't know how to say a small block. Maybe 10 houses.
Mm-hmm.
10 houses by 10 houses by 10 houses. And there was a pit bull on the opposite side of the block. There was like a biker, you know, I say biker gang, but I'm going off of memory from when I was like 5 years old. So they could have just been, you know, they could have been just not as clean cut of, you know, they could have been, whereas, you know, you have, you know, my parents were, you know, more uptight and, you know, like Catholics and all that and put together with business day jobs. They could have been the night type of jobs. They could have been, you know, people would look at my house right now with my roommates and the comedians that live there and you know, an 8-year-old could think that's the same thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. But they had a pit bull and it would always like escape and always run out and run around the neighborhood. And that's dangerous for a pit bull to just be running around
yeah.
a neighborhood where there's a lot of children playing. You know, like every other house had young kids. It was a very familial type of, you know, neighborhood
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you had kids walking to school every day and this pit bull would always... just escape and run around and finally we got, I don't know if we succeeded or not, but I feel like we kept trying to, houses on the block kept trying to like trap it and like have animal control come and take it because it was one of those dogs, it was like neglect. It was like if you just let your dog run around LA and come back for the food, but then it was like, you didn't keep it kenneled up.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know,
you can't just have your dogs running around willy-nilly free, like there are leash laws.
Yeah.
And they didn't have this. Rehovot, how do I say that? Israel, how do you say
Rehovot?
Rehovot is a city in the central district of Israel, about 20 kilometers, 12 miles south of Tel Aviv. In 2016, it had a population of 135,000. And you moved out, you were there for 6 years?
Seven years.
So you don't remember too much of it, I imagine, or like Tel Aviv is like a major city there, right?
Tel Aviv, it's like the Miami of Israel.
Okay. Rehovot was first established in 1890.
Wow. Yeah, I always have like glimpses of memories of back home. Like a big glimpse is always walking to I guess it would be called pre-K.
Okay.
With my sister, always remember that walk, like distinctly as if it was yesterday. But yeah, a really shitty thing that I've learned about pit bulls is that usually, I'm not saying all, but usually if someone gets bit, right, especially a kid or something, and someone asks them, what kind of dog bit you? Almost their initial instinct to be that, oh, it was a pit bull. when it could have been a Rottweiler or an American Bulldog or something. So that's been kind of like, that's a big reason why the stigma continues with pit bulls. And like I said, over 2 million pit bulls a year are killed. And just in LA, I learned today, 200 pit bulls on average are killed a day.
Oh, wow.
A day. No questions asked.
Just killed because they're pit bulls.
Just because they have that label, you know. And it sucks because they're the most breeded dogs, I think, in the United States. I don't know if the world. They're the most breeded dog in the United States, and they're also the most murdered dog in the United States. So it's this really weird... there's no balance.
Yeah, it's...
So spay and neuter your dogs.
Yeah, well, please. I'm looking on Wikipedia here, and it says, pit bulls also constitute the majority of dogs used for illegal dogfighting, so...
Exactly.
If there's a... I mean, I imagine there's... You know, I'm not in the world of illegal dogfighting, but if there's a name for it, there's got to be enough of it. You know, even if there's only 3 rings of illegal dogfighting, you're having more than 4 dogs fight.
There's so many dogfighting rings, probably.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
especially middle of America.
Oh,
that's what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I guarantee there's illegal dogfights in Los Angeles.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's why there's so many in LA.
What have you seen any movies lately?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, seen all the nominated films. Call Me By Your Name was insanely beautiful. That movie stuck with me for like a week. I kept like popping in like certain shots and just like trying to figure out like, man, like that, because they shot in the middle of like northern Italy somewhere.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And but I gotta say, I think my favorite film of the year overall was The Shape of Water.
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Shape of Water blew me away. I felt like I was like 5 years old again.
Yeah, yeah.
In this day and age, watching a romantic dark fairy tale,
I like rom com type of movies, but also if there's a monster in makeup, and period piece, like it had it all,
and a mute lead female.
It was great. She was great. It was a great movie. If you haven't seen it, Fish Out of Water, go see it.
Shape of Water.
The same thing. Just Google Fish Out of Water movie, and that'll come up, I imagine.
Yeah.
So you moved to the United States when you were 6 years old, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where did you move after that, did you say? So you moved from Israel to...
New York.
To New York.
So I'm from New York, yeah.
You're from New York.
Literally
what was
up
New
until
York
this,
like?
Up until 2017.
2017. You lived in New York till you were 2017.
Till I was 2017.
Until you're an old guy.
I grew up in Staten Island.
Okay.
So Staten Island is just your basic suburb, very community driven. It's literally called it's the borough of parks. That's what we're known for. So it's like 80-something% is just straight up green park. So it was a beautiful place to grow up. You were forced to be active. Especially because I think I kind of missed the cusp of technology taking over your stimulating mind. And we were actually forced to go outside and play and meet up with friends and make like day trips out of just whatever we could, you know. And it was fun. But then as I got older, more like high school days, you start discovering what Manhattan and Brooklyn is, and then growing up and traveling there was like, that was a complete wonderland, you know, especially being from tiny town in Israel to then a small town in New York. It's kind of like the forgotten borough, you know. It's literally like on the bottom left of the map, completely isolated. And Manhattan just blew me away, and I think that was probably the biggest reason for my inspiration to even take interest in art and then eventually pursue it. And because then you learn about the history of Manhattan. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's like everything. It's every art form across the board.
Staten Island, real quick, speaking of parks and things like that, Staten Island had the Fresh Kills landfill, which was the world's largest landfill before closing in 2001.
Yeah.
But the landfill is now being redeveloped as Fresh Kills Park.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh Kills Park, which will become the New York's second largest public park.
Yeah, behind Central Park, yeah.
It's being built atop a landfill reclamation project on Staten Island, about 2,200 acres. It will be the largest park developed in New York City since the 19th century. Construction began October 2008. And is slated to continue in phases for at least 30 years. So they're working on
turning the park. There's a lot. Because
apparently you just can't be like, oh, here's some trees.
Yeah, because it's everything underneath. It's probably super toxic. But yeah, right before I left, they opened like a small part of it, and it's beautiful. It's like rolling hills, and it's a massive, massive, massive space.
This is interesting. It's the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation is running the project with the New York City Department of Sanitation. Now, that's so weird, because on the way here, I was listening to a podcast, Alec Baldwin's podcast, Here's the Thing.
I love that one.
He was interviewing a couple people from New York about the sanitation. He was interviewing a woman who's in charge of the New York Sanitation Department, and then he was interviewing some other dude, and they detail what goes into the fresh water treatment mm-hmm. of New York, as well as just the sanitation. And I'm only like halfway through the podcast, but they were talking about all the things that it does and that New York City does to filter the water and before they clean it and they send it out into larger bodies of water. Then the girl in the first half mentioned that Singapore does everything that New York does, but they do a couple other things, and they'll do osmosis on top of like the water treatment, and they'll make their water drinkable. They'll make their like poo water.
Yeah.
Singapore makes their poo water drinkable.
Exactly. Well, Singapore is like, they're far ahead in a lot of things.
Singapore.
If I'm not mistaken, New York still has the cleanest drinking water in the United States, right?
We'll find that out. If only there was a way to Google that. Cleanest.
If only we had a laptop.
In the U.S. 25 U.S. cities with the best drinking water.
2017.
October 2017. Let's look here. The top water gets a bum rap. Let's see here. What does it say? Macon, Georgia's 25. Well, of course they start at 25. Pembroke Pines 24. Salem, Oregon, 23. Memphis, Tennessee, 22. Philadelphia, 21. Cape Coral, 20. Oakland, California, 19. Boise, Olaf, Kansas, New Orleans, Augusta.
Hey, maybe LA's up there.
Orlando, Hayward, Joliet, Illinois, Aurora, Colorado. Baltimore, Maryland is number 10. Warren, Michigan is number 9. Cincinnati, Ohio, 8. Miami, 7. Port St. Lucie, Florida is number 6. Savannah, Georgia is number 5. Charleston, South Carolina is number 4. Louisville, Kentucky is number 3. Tallahassee, Florida is number 2. And Sioux Falls, San Diego is number 1.
Oh my God.
This is the best number of contaminants, number 2. I'd be curious what this is, but the clean water score is 110.
Wow, New York's not even there.
I don't know what 110 means, but according to bestlifeonline.com, this also could be it really could just be a shill travel website. I'm not sure.
Speaking of water, this fucking rain right now is the greatest thing that could have happened.
We need this rain so much just because California was on fire.
It's so beautiful.
I mean, we could have used this rain a month ago.
Months ago, man.
But
we could use this rain once a week.
Look, I mean, it's coming down right now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's been doing this for 2 days.
Look at downtown. It's just a complete silhouette.
It's a complete silhouette. Like, you can barely see downtown because of the rain. Which is, like, I feel like we normally Los Angeles gets rain in November. Mm-hmm. I feel like November or January we'll get it. But we didn't get any rain in November.
I wonder why.
And, November rain. And the state burned down. Now we're getting it. Now we get it. The problem with California is we'll get rain 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Instead of.
And we won't get it when we need it.
We'll get 4 days in a row rain here, and we won't get rain for maybe 6 months.
The firefighters right now are probably so pissed off. They're like, "What the fuck are you?"
But I mean, luckily though, the mountains are getting this rain too,
mm-hmm.
and then that'll melt and like still we still get you know, water. Like, it'll, you know, especially with it being cold right now, we won't, we'll know, the land will absorb it for at least a few months, right? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I feel like rain in January will help wet everything down so there won't be any fires until, like, at least July.
Oh, that is my camera. Absolutely not, little girl.
Well, you got a lot of Polaroid cameras here. You like, you collect the Polaroid cameras? Is that a thing?
Yes, this is my newest collection. This is something I'm very proud of. It's It's a Leica Polaroid camera, the SO4T. It's obviously Leica, for anyone that kind of understands camera, it's like top of the top brand.
Okay, I'll pretend like I know what you're talking about.
Yes, yes. The Leica SO4T, it's an instant camera. However, it has the mechanism of Leica, and it is badass.
But it's a Polaroid.
Yes.
It's a Polaroid with a Leica lens.
Instant print.
With an instant print. What do you like about the Polaroid instant prints? I look on your window here, your windowsill.
Yeah, those are classics.
Nine different Polaroid cameras.
Yeah, and those are the classic ones from like 80s, 90s.
Way before you were born, obviously.
Yes, yeah. I have a fascination for old things, probably because I'm growing up in a very unexciting generation.
I'm not gonna lie. I say this a lot, and I love technology, and I love computers, and I love everything we got. But the advancements in technology mm-hmm. has waned. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, things are just getting better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
And they're going to soon outsmarten us.
Like, where computers have been around for a while, now mm-hmm. we're just getting them smaller. And you know, the iPhone, it's a phone, but it's also just a computer that's a small thing.
And dude, the fact that we can have an iWatch, that's a big deal. That's awesome. Pretty crazy.
Like, I think that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I grew up wanting a Dick Tracy watch, but exactly. In the end, it's just a better... They're just merging things. Mm-hmm. And making them smaller. Mm-hmm. There's no new advancements. Like, you know, Polaroid instant film was a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when the computer first came out, that was a new thing. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the wireless, the cordless phone was a new thing. The microwave was a new thing. Mm-hmm. The radio was a new thing. The television was a new thing. Airplane flying was a new thing. But we haven't really had any new... I mean, I'll be getting emails or tweets about this, but as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing brand new. Like, there's nothing revolutionary. Like,
exactly. We're kind of taking what we have.
There's nobody's like, oh, here's a new... We're just taking what we have and making it better.
Yeah, we're changing how it runs. We're changing how it looks. Like, I personally have the iPhone X.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look at it. It looks fucking cool, but it's just a bigger screen and could take photos a little better, and that's it. And I think it's going to keep going that until either Tim Cook or whoever takes over is like, hey, how do we completely get rid of a piece of metal, right? And who knows? Maybe it'll be like a fucking chip, or it'll be there'll be no burden of carrying something. That's why the iWatch was... a new thing, let's say, right? Because you have a phone and a computer on your wrist.
But it's still just a shrinking it down into the size of a...
So it's like, if that's where they're going, they're just going to... I don't know. They could just keep going smaller until it's literally just...
But
like,
it's not
somehow
new.
Yeah.
It's just better and smaller. Mm-hmm.
So that's why, cut two, older technology fascinates me. Because like you said, for that day and age, it was something new. But it's also, you can't forget your history. So that was the effect of probably so many new advancements, you know? So it's kind of like paying my dues and respect for a time that I never knew. Oh, there she is. Hello.
Are you, I noticed you have a bunch of records too, yeah.
Yeah, so just huge. And I mean, a lot of people agree there's no sound like a vinyl on a record player with epic speakers.
You do have the crackle, the warmness of, I mean, it's mono for sure, don't get me wrong, you know, but that's, in the end, it's also kind of like, maybe that's the way it was intended, is I get we have two ears, but we're made for the live experience anyways.
Yeah.
So that could be why there's something to people, you know, there's something to the experience of you know, looking at the artwork for one,
mm-hmm.
pulling out
that's one of my favorite parts.
But,
like
but also, painting. Also when you put it on, it is mono and it does fill the room and it does give you, you know, your ears are hearing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nostalgic and it's just like we've been kind of doing this thing. It's weird saying 2018 right now because it's so recent, but like let's say last year. We've been doing this thing of like having, you know, like actual listening parties, like vinyl listening parties, like getting a brand new record, having some people over, and people literally would just like, no phones, you sit on the floor, you drink whatever you want, snacks, etc., and you listen to an entire record.
You do this?
Yes.
What's the last record you've done this to?
We did this to Parachutes right there by Coldplay, which is one of the greatest records ever created, and that's not an opinion, it's a fact.
Yeah. Who's Coldplay?
Oh, stop. I'm kidding. So yeah, that was amazing because that's a very vibey, it's just like heartwarming record and people loved it. And I was like, guys, this is what people did 30 years ago.
I mean, they did.
And before.
That's true.
And it was just a really nice experience instead of just like, you know, let's play it through the speakers or Bluetooth or something like that. And yeah, that was, and I want to keep doing that because it makes it an experience. And
no, can't chew on things. He's not talking to me. He's telling his dog.
Razzle's trying to chew on my arm.
I keep trying to chew on things.
I'm like, not here.
But I like chewing on things.
So that's why. And I have to get a snap of you on the Leica. So
yeah, fort. I love it. Polaroid Corporation, according to Wikipedia here, pioneered and patented the consumer-friendly instant cameras that we all know, and they were followed by various manufacturers. The invention of commercially viable instant cameras, which were easy to use and generally credited to American scientist Edwin Land, who unveiled the first commercial instant camera, the Model 95 Land camera, in 1948.
Wow.
1948, a year after unveiling instant film in New York City.
Course.
The earliest instant camera, which consisted of a camera and a portable wet darkroom in a single compartment, was invented in 1923 by Samuel Schlafrock. 1923.
Oh. Yeah. Thanks, Samuel.
1923. I mean, do you remember, it might be before your time, but Game Boy had a thing, had a camera for a bit where you could take a picture with a Game Boy and print out little stickers on your Game Boy.
No, definitely don't remember that.
Like, I'm kind of surprised you want to talk about inventions. How isn't there a thing that I can plug my phone into
mm-hmm.
that can print photos? I'm sure there is, but
There is.
I'm talking like pocket sized.
Oh, yes.
I'm talking like the purse size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about a plug-in printer, you know,
yeah, it's
whatever.
Still
I'm talking about like turning my iPhone into a Polaroid camera.
Well, you better patent that, homeboy.
Yeah. And Polaroid filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2008. But apparently they're still making Leica cameras now, right?
Well, this the Leica Sofort is, if I'm not mistaken, 2016. So it's very recent.
It's very recent.
But if you're familiar with just like the photography world, the film is making a comeback stronger than ever, specifically in motion picture. If I'm not mistaken, 5 of the like 7 favorites to win best film were shot on film.
Really?
Yes, especially The Shape of Water, Panavision.
It
just gives it that...
I don't know that name.
I mean, it just gives it an effect that you can't recreate in post, and you can't... It's just... And people see it. You know, it's like... I guess it's maybe with evolution and genetics, but for some reason the human eye, it just gets this immediate feeling like, ooh, graininess, you know what I mean?
Well, something, I mean, it, look, it's even like digital.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, technology's made it easy for more people to make movies, and I love that. But then even on some of these TVs, these amazing giant TVs, there's like those functions where it looks too clear, it looks too real.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about watching a movie or watching a TV show, and it being too real. Like, I don't want to watch a movie and feel like it's a sports show or a soap opera, or I don't want to look like I'm looking through a window. I want to escape. The reason I like movies is because of the escape. Mm-hmm. I like the story. I like the, you know, I want an escape. I want to be told a story. I want to be told a visual campfire story.
Yes, exactly.
And there's something about film and digital. You know, sometimes some directors will try and put like a film filter on digital, which I get, and that mm-hmm. helps out.
And it's much cheaper.
You know, it's much cheaper. Yeah, film, I mean, because for a while they were running out of film.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped making film and they were running out, and film got expensive. But there's something warmness about, you know, it's even like with the saturation. Like, some movies are so saturated and so colorful.
All right.
And it's great and it's cool. But there's also something about popping on an old movie, an old classic. You know, like, White Christmas I watched
mm-hmm.
during Christmas time. Or, you know, like The Sting, which came out in the 70s. You know, and there's something about the film quality of it not being super bright and overpowering. Like, it was very, the blues were very low blues. The mm-hmm. yellows were very low. You know, it was very desaturated, you know?
Yeah.
It was it was in color, but it's not just blaring your rods and cones in your eyes with bright yellows and bright blues.
Yeah. That's what I loved about, Call Me By Your Name. It was, I assume it was shot on film. I mean, that look was very distinct. But their color grade was very, it was very subtle, you know, it was because Italy, especially the middle of Italy, it's the craziest colors of greens and blues, and there's nature all around you, and the old architecture has that, it almost looks like it's a painting. But they had this kind of just like very subtle color grade with the mix of film, and it just, again, for like a week, it stuck with me because almost every shot looked like a painting, you know. It was, and that's my favorite kind of cinema, where every frame, if you paused it, you'd be like, wow, I could hang this up on my wall.
Yeah,
you know.
Here's some fun facts about Panavision, because you mentioned Panavision.
Mm-hmm.
Panavision is an American motion picture equipment company specializing in cameras and lenses, based in Woodland Hills, California, so not too far from here.
Cool.
It was founded in 1953, and they operate solely, exclusively as a rental facility. So you can't buy Panavision equipment. The company owns its entire inventory.
Unless you're Tommy Wiseau.
Unless you're Tommy Wiseau. But even that was probably rented. Like, they probably worked that into it somehow. The company owns its entire inventory, unlike most of its competitors, where you can, you know, you can buy the red ones, you can mm-hmm. buy the cameras and all that. But Panavision, they will only rent you.
Yeah, because it really is like an endangered species. You know, you're not going to want to give that away. It's like it is a piece of history.
Panavision was established principally for the manufacture of anamorphic projection lenses
mm-hmm.
to meet the growing demands of theaters showing CinemaScope films.
Mm-hmm. Which is just a big-ass screen.
Yeah, CinemaScope is an anamorphic lens series used from 1953 to 1967. Used for shooting widescreen, but because it was so tough or whatever, they switched over to now in Panavision.
Yeah, and that's my favorite way of shooting photos is... I cut it down to 2.1x1, and it's just a Panavision, huge, super wide, takes a little...
Okay, so for people, let's pretend I don't know what that means. 2.1x1,
because regular is
16x9, right?
Yeah.
Regular widescreen TVs mm-hmm. are 16x9.
Yeah, so then if you just do the math, that's a lot of cutting off.
So 2.1x1 mm-hmm. is super Panavision.
Super Panavision.
Where you're going to, even on a widescreen television, a regular 16x9 television, you're going to have bars on the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The only thing with that is that it could, actually, it will cut off the sides. So you might lose some of your image. But like, for example, when I scan my photos onto my iPhone, and I flip it sideways, it still can't see the full image side to side. And that's sideways.
Yeah.
But
even if you, it won't just put it in there and crop it out. It'll just be too big, too long.
It'll be too wide.
Too wide.
Yeah.
That's weird that your iPhone won't shrink it down and have it.
Well, here's the thing. It'll shrink it down when it's vertical. right?
Yeah.
But when it's horizontal, it'll cut off the sides.
Okay. Yeah,
which is weird. You would think you get the full picture. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of my favorite. And if I ever, hopefully one day, get the chance to shoot, the camera operator and DP would be my best friend.
2.1
nerd out. We would just nerd out about cameras and
about having a very small picture on the movie screen.
No, very, very large, just not large on top and bottom.
Now, what is IMAX then? Do you know what IMAX ratio is?
No idea, because IMAX is just... Never seen anything like it.
IMAX ratio. Let's see if IMAX has a size ratio. Aspect ratio image. 16:9 is regular. 21:9, 18:9. So you use 2.1,
mm-hmm.
which is also 18:9, apparently,
mm-hmm.
for current video standards. Doesn't say anything about IMAX. I wanted IMAX, but it's not. The golden ratio is 1.6:1. Silver ratio.
Like Paul Thomas Anderson, perfect example, right? Because he has the Phantom Thread. He uses super, super wide Panavision lenses.
What did you think of that movie?
I have not seen it.
You've not seen it?
Yeah, which is...
Apparently the Academy standard film aspect ratio is 11:8:8.
Huh. 11:8.
You're too young for this, but pan and scan used to be a thing.
What's that?
It would be when they tried to... When... Before TVs became widescreen,
mm-hmm.
TVs were square.
Mm-hmm.
And you could buy two films. You could buy the letterbox version, which would be the film version, but it would have bars on the top. Now, a lot of people in the 80s and 90s, they didn't like the bars because they felt you weren't using the full TV. And if you didn't have a big TV, it made the picture smaller. So you could buy the, you know, edited for television pan and scan version, which was, they would basically... in theory, it would be like if you filmed the widescreen video,
mm-hmm.
and you put it on your Instagram square, like a square Instagram, and you clicked play, and I was on you while you were talking, right? I press play, and you're in the square while you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm on the others. I'm across the table from you, and I'm talking. It would like slide the video to the left, so I was on. It would do a pan, but it isn't a pan because in theory, it's a flat piece of video. So it would just like shift. It would like slide the screen left and right to get the full visuals of what the action was happening. Do you know what I mean?
Kind of.
Let me see if I can pull up here, pan and scan example.
Is that still used?
Maybe. It's going to be, let's see here, Blade Runner pan and scan versus widescreen. I'm going to mute it for our listeners there. But while we're explaining, I'm going to explain what's happening. So right now, I'm showing Ronan here a Blade Runner pan and scan versus widescreen. It's got some long intro. Why do videos have intros? So just play the clip. Definitely a visual medium here. Okay, so this is what you'd see on... So right now you see the part of the Blade Runner, you see Los Angeles exploding, you see the city of Los Angeles exploding. Then to show this the ship fly off screen, the screen, it shifts to the...
Oh, so the screen the shifts, screen it's not shifts. The camera.
The camera can't shift because the camera's already has... The camera already has it filled. The camera's locked. You have your picture, you have your movie, you're in your seat. But if you need to just shrink that down to a square for your television...
Weird.
You're going to be cropping off the sides. But if something happens on the sides, you're going to have to shift that over. You're going to have to move the TV
screen.
Yeah,
that's definitely not used anymore.
I mean, it might be used on some old films. Like if they're being... some aren't edited for... You know, pan and scan for like, you know, like if you're on Lifetime or some rando channel. Luckily the television companies decided at some point to start making, you know, to make widescreen televisions. Because now every TV is made for the 16:9 ratio. You'll be hard to go to Best Buy.
This entire wall is my projector.
I believe it. I love it. Where do you have it? Oh, you got it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
And we watch all the screeners on it, and it's like being in a mini
movie. And projectors are so cheap, too, now?
Yeah.
Where you can have mini movie theaters in your house.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever get a TV again after having the projector.
It's tough.
Experience.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough, like, if it's the sun's blaring in and it's hard to get, like, a black.
That's true. Like, we can only really watch it, like, when the sun is setting, but luckily the sun sets at 4:30 now.
Yeah. I also don't watch a lot of TV anyways in the day. Like, I generally will watch movies or television at night.
So. Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of wasting time.
You know?
I like to watch movies at night and just wrap up the day.
Yeah, but we definitely live in a content consumer society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make televisions bigger and brighter and better for your sports and your movies. They make them now, so they're, you know, they fit the cinematic viewing experience as well as video gameplay. I mean the video game industry is a bigger money maker than movies and music combined,
dude. Especially this VR boom, it's like,
what do you think of VR? Have you played VR at all?
I haven't. I've tried it on like phones, on like Samsungs and stuff. I've never tried a VR on an actual system.
Yeah,
I'm sure I would have been mind blown, because I grew up in the era that's like Xbox and PlayStation.
How old are you?
24.
Oh yeah, you're a kid.
So
Xbox was Xbox One.
Yeah, Xbox was a big deal.
Not the Xbox One, but the original Xbox.
Yeah, the big ass.
The big black cube with the green plastic.
X. Yeah, with the green X, and it's like, I remember my very first game on Xbox was the very first Spider-Man game.
Oh wow!
And that to me was like advanced technology exponentially, because it looked so good, and I guarantee if we look at it now, it'd be like, wow.
You must look at like the games I played, the Nintendo games, and just think, oh, this is so crude and just so like blocks.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very simple, but I do love old like Nintendo cards and.
That was gonna be my question, because as someone who's such a fan of old technologies, are you fascinated with old video games compared to the new video games?
Absolutely. I feel like nowadays it's kind of easier to make stuff like that because the technology is there.
Yeah, you can fit every Nintendo game on your phone.
Yeah, and people have decades and decades of experience and knowledge. And back then, you were literally creating something new every single time you were making something, you know? Because even with games, it was evolving.
Yeah.
You know, when you created a new game, it was a new game.
It was a new game.
It wasn't like another shooter or another racing game. It was like the first shooter. It was like the first racing game. So all my homies back home have like Nintendo and...
Do you have those Nintendo... those Super Nintendo small things where it's got like 80 games on it? Do you have any of those?
No, the Nintendo, I don't think so.
I don't even know what it's called. The Nintendo Pocket or whatever? I don't fucking know.
I haven't played video games in a long time.
Yeah? Not a video gamer?
No, I used to be. Sports video games were my favorite thing. NBA 2K was...
Yeah.
We had like tournaments.
All my friends are video gamers. My buddy Joel just got the Switch and he's raving about it. I haven't played a video... I mean, I've played video games at friends' houses, but I haven't had a... Like, I've played three main video games in the last maybe 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I played those. I can't play video games because I played those straight through. Like, that's 18 hours. That's like a binge. Like, I play video games, I binge. And I don't own a system. I don't have the last video game system I bought to keep for myself was the Nintendo 64 back in like 97.
See, but that, like.
And I bought that for myself to play. I haven't owned a Wii. I haven't owned my. I've had roommates who've owned them. But I've never, like, I don't play them. Like, I don't play games.
Yeah.
Just like I don't watch television. I watch Game of Thrones. I watch Westworld. I watch Stranger Things. But those are all, like, bingeable. And those are, like, you know, video games. I have friends who, like, play Skyrim and play these fantastical, amazing games. And I'm not judging by any means. And they're constantly being like, oh, I got this and I got this. And it's like, that's awesome. But, like, I would be, like, I don't know. I just don't. It's like watching sports, kind of. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, actually, I mean, right now, it's the NFL playoffs, and I found myself just this past weekend kind of, people were like, hey, let's go to like a sports bar and watch the games. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, I used to love football and I used to be a huge fan and play fantasy football and all that stuff. And then this was my first year not playing fantasy football and partaking in like being a fan, especially because like basketball is my favorite sport. And ever since Kobe Bryant retired, I kind of felt no need in watching basketball anymore, because I kind of felt like a piece of my childhood was like taken away. And I was like, well, you know, there's certain players that are exciting, but I'm not invested anymore.
Yeah.
And we're at the bar and we're watching the Rams game, which is LA, and it's like, it's a big deal in the sports world. You know, it's been like 30 years or something, and people are like going nuts and everyone's decked out in Rams stuff. And you know, no judgments being made, but I was sitting there and I'm kind of like, do you guys even really care?
Yeah.
You know, especially because you start looking around and a lot of people are on their phones.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are there just to Instagram that they're like partaking in being a fan of like LA team. It's like, and look,
I've done the whole Instagram, hey, look, sure, I'm here. Look,
exactly.
You know, yeah, if it's not here, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. You do it for the likes. I've done that. I can't judge that.
But it was just this kind of like, it was kind of like this weird epiphany I had of like, wow, I think I'm over that that hump of like, I could find interest in something more, and maybe something that's even more, you know, invigorating or stimulating. Because from being a fan of football and sports for years, you kind of becomes repetitive, you know, especially because nowadays there are so many commercials and there's so many things that, I mean, you watch one football game, you'll see 100 beer commercials, you see 100 car commercials, and it's kind of like, what are we really watching for? Are you guys trying to sell us on this thing, or are you just like, because it's not really about the sport
anymore. No, it's not about sport. It's about,
not at all.
It's all about shilling product.
Exactly, and it's like, even, I mean, basketball now, for the first time ever, is putting sponsored companies on their jerseys.
Really?
Yes, this is the first year that they have it. You look at any team, they have a sponsor, like soccer.
Yeah, like Nike or Adidas.
No.
Their name was going to be on.
No, so here's the thing. Nike or Adidas was always on because that's the company that makes the jerseys.
Okay.
But I'm talking about like Kia is on a, I forgot which team, but Kia is on a sports jersey. Like Wish is on the Lakers, which is the Wish Foundation, which is not so bad. But it's becoming corporatized sports now, just like football did it, European football. So it's kind of like, NBA to put Kia logo on
front of all star jerseys.
Yeah,
to put the Kia logo on. I mean, it's, look, people, I get it to an extent. Yeah. They want to be a part of a team and a movement and all that, but when the game itself is 40
and,
minutes.
And the Rams lost. So
when the game itself is only takes 40 minutes to play.
Yeah.
And it is stretched to be
three
and a half hour thing.
Yeah.
You have to think about why that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the halftime, and yeah, timeouts are a thing, but when they add so many timeouts and mandatory timeouts and breaks, it's because they want to sell you product.
That's what I love about soccer, and I grew up playing soccer and pretty much my entire life. But the cool thing about soccer, if you know, the time that you see is the time you're going to get, right? And yes, of course, there's companies and there's corporations on the jerseys and on the side of the field, but you're getting the full game. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever, we see like the companies in the background, but we don't really care. But you're getting the full game.
Do they not have commercials during soccer?
Only halftime.
Really?
Yep. It's fucking amazing.
See, that is true to a sport.
Yes.
Now but also the capitalist. And
then again, it's like the soccer players are some of the highest paid athletes.
Where does that money come from? If it's not coming from advertising.
Well, the thing is, a lot of teams and clubs are owned by like multimillionaire billionaires, which is like most sports. But there is a lot of advertising on the jerseys and on, like I said, on the side of the field. but it's not force-fed to you like a lot of America does, and you get 100 commercials, it's just there. People know.
Yeah.
People just know. It's there. You know, it's not like, here, this is our
fucking... Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to have to interrupt this for an ad from our sponsor.
Kia.
Ronan, we're almost at an hour here. Let's. What do you have coming up that you want to promote? What do you want to promote? Speaking of promoting and shielding products,
mm-hmm.
I shield at the top of this. My book, Don't Be a Dick. I'm going to do that again.
Actually,
again. What do you want to?
I'm going to take a quick moment before.
And then, where can people find you on Instagram and Twitter? And what do you have any projects you want people to check out?
So it's very simple. It's just my first and last name on Instagram. I don't use Twitter. Okay. Kind of just like,
well, I'm going to unfollow you cause I did follow you today.
Okay. I'm kind of just basically on Instagram and, it's RONENRUBINSTEIN that's about to be my email. Never mind.
How many of those? The handle.
That's just the handle. Okay, so before I start talking about myself, yes. which I don't really like to, I'm going to talk about this because this is actually important, and this was, I think, my favorite section of the book. Okay, so it starts off with, "Try not to be messy. If you are, you should clean it. If you do something wrong, say I'm sorry and mean it. Stick up for those bullied, no matter their gender, preference, or size. You should always be honest. Try not to tell lies." Now, for the people that are seeing this, it's very, very beautiful, simple illustrations. So, for anyone, it could appeal to anyone, any kind of age. Next page. "Don't be a slob, schlump, curmudgeon, or slouch. Nobody likes a frump, grump, grumbler, or grouch. Be positive to others. Don't be a hater. If your parents give you chores, do them now. Don't wait until later. Try not to be negative, naughty, or crass. Do not cut in lines without a fast pass."
Shout out to Disney and Universal and all those rides that have fast passes.
Yes. So, and that's just a small excerpt from the book, but it's just like, it's like you said, can we just all get along, be a good human? It starts with kids, because kids right now have the most...
They're sponges.
It's and there are never before seen amount of influence right now in the world. There are thousands of things for them to latch onto, and a lot of them are not positive.
Logan Paul on YouTube and...
Like, that's a top story right
YouTubers
now. It's like, that's
these,
the thing.
Kids are sponges and they're going on the internet.
Yeah.
And they're seeing nothing but hate and vile and negativity.
Yeah. And it's going to sound super hippy dippy and
it
like
does,
Yoko
yeah.
Ono, but you can't fight hate with hate.
You can't.
That's it. Because it's like fighting fire with fire.
We've had this conversation many times.
Many times. And it's like, it's going to be like a broken record, but it has to be a fucking broken record because people, for some reason, are continuing to fight hate with hate. And I know it's easier said than done. Look, I'm not saying we're perfect or anyone's perfect. And it's so easy because it would have been finished already. But it's like you need to find a way to somehow, first of all, take the positivity out of all this bullshit. Because look, at the end of the day, it's not all terrible. It's not all terrible. There's terrible people out there. And there have always been terrible people out there.
Always.
We can't make it a thing that 2017 is the first time that there's been terrible people, let's say, in power, in influence, around us. There's been terrible people forever. So
forever.
Maybe look at history and see how we, you know, overcame that, or how we have made strides forward instead of backwards. And this is the biggest time that we need to move forward. And I mean, it does start with the kids. And that's why when you gave me this book, it was like, yes, this is an amazing route to go through, because, and it's a book, right? I mean, people don't read books anymore. Everything's,
they don't.
And there's actually scientific facts that when you read things on a screen, you barely take in any of that information.
I believe it.
Because it's so fast and it just constantly,
you're just scrolling and,
it's just constantly in and out of your brain 24/7. But with a book or a vinyl or a Polaroid camera, it's there in front of you. You could feel it. You can go back to it. So that's my little PSA right there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for reading that. And
my pleasure, man. Thank you for doing this. Well.
What can you tell us about one of your upcoming projects? Where can people watch you, or what do you have? You know, do you have anything that you want people to check out otherwise?
I have a project that I'm very excited about. It's called Smiley Face Killers.
Okay.
It's only been announced, I think a month ago, and it's the newest film from Bret Easton Ellis.
Oh, awesome.
Writer of American Psycho, Rules of Attraction, yeah. Less Than Zero. So he's like a classic American novelist. And now, well, he's always transitioned to film. And it's a...
If you want a reservation at Dorsia, talk to him.
it's a super twisted true story about there was these cult murders. They started in the late 90s, and they kind of called themselves the Smiley Face Killers, and they spread over, I think, 11 states for almost 20 years. Murdering young athletic males, specifically in college, like that age group. And they unfortunately were never caught. And I play their newest target. And it becomes this very twisted Bret Easton Ellis dark film about life, first of all, coming up as just like a kid in college and what they go through. And then it makes a very, very sharp left turn into this murder theory that actually happened. And the reason they were called the Smiley Face Killers is that whenever the bodies were found, specifically in bodies of water, their cult believed in these water gods that they had to give the mutilated dead bodies into. So near every murder site, there was a smiley face drawn in blood. For dramatic effect, but yeah, they were never caught, and it spanned almost over 20 years.
Yeah, there's a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to the theories about it.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, man.
It's very freaky, you know. It's it lasted for decades, and they never really caught the guys.
So hopefully, they don't watch this movie.
Yeah. Awesome, Smiley Face Murders. Smiley Face Killers or Smiley
killers.
Face Murders?
Killers. Smiley Face Killers, yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats. And
yes, thank you.
Good luck on that. And we'll definitely look for that. Once again, thank you so much for doing the show.
Dude, thank you.
Thank you to everybody who listened. And thank you for everybody who's stuck around with the podcast and, you know, has been waiting for a new episode to come out. It's been a couple months. I apologize. I've been busy. And, you know, you get in creative, you know, spurts and funks and things like that, and you get busy doing other things and you forget what you lose sight of, you know, the projects that, you know, that you did on the regular. And I'm gonna, you know, now it's 2018, I'm gonna continue trying to do these on the regular and provide, you know, fun little information and fun facts and interviews for you guys in 2018. And thank you guys for everything, and you guys are awesome.
Thank you, everybody.
And thank you, Ronan. And everybody, be awesome and be nice to each other. And don't be a dick, and be cool, and happy 2018.